The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, but the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on your guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of Christ, who was and is to come. Amen. So this question of Jesus returned inspired one pastor, according to a video that went viral this week, to get on a zip line from the back of the church down and preach the whole time he was coming down, which is fairly impressive. I was thinking about it, I think the chandeliers are in the way. Jesus' return. I don't know that I think it's going to be by zip line. But we get an image today in the Gospels of the Son of Man return. But what incredible events surround that. It's the collapse of the whole world. It's Genesis being reversed. In Genesis, God says, "Let there be light," but now these lights are flashing in danger. In Genesis, the land and the seas are separated and there's a place to stand, but now the roaring seas are threatening all around. And the chaos that the Spirit of the Lord moved over at the beginning has reasserted itself. And a question comes, didn't God promise never to destroy the world? What of the rainbow promise? And what we hear in this gospel is that the Son of Man, Jesus, is the fulfillment of the rainbow promise, that we don't have to hide in fear, but can go out to meet our Lord in his coming again, in his second advent, the advent that we are preparing for. We mark the first advent, we celebrate it, we give thanks for it. But what we are preparing our hearts and minds in this season for is that second advent. And so it makes sense, although I have to say, every year when we begin with the world being destroyed, that's how we begin this church year, that's how we start Advent, I'm kind of like, cheery. Yeah, no. And I always kind of wondered about that. I want to share an insight I had this week. I was at the installation of Greg Brown as the new rector, the 10th rector of Holy Comforter in Charlotte. And his preacher, after he talked on about all the things that were happening as the community began their new life together, he said, "Now, one day this will end." And I'm thinking, where's he going with this one? And he said, you might be asking, where am I going with this? And he said, it's important for us to remember that things come to an end because it helps us cherish what we have now. If we think it just goes on and on, well, we'll worry about cherishing it tomorrow. But if we know it's coming to an end, now that's that, I said, now that I can hold on to. That makes sense. And it also, I think, knowing that things end pushes us to do some of the work that we might otherwise rather not do. But that's a different sermon. So the end of the world. Now, some people take that, what Luke is writing about here, very very much literally, the end of the space-time continuum. And now astrophysicists tell us that is true, that what we know in this grand universe, it has a beginning and it has an ending. At the time that Luke was writing, though, it was a political and social crisis that was really happening in the world. The temple had fallen down, and we know that when there is a revolution, when there's a complete breakdown of the social order, that is an end of the world. And I've had opportunity to talk to people who've lived through revolution and what that is like. There's also our own individual ends. We are all going to die. We are all going to die. And one of the gifts that a medical diagnosis can offer sometimes is that awareness. That country western song that says, you know, may you have the gift to live like you are dying. May you be aware. May you be present, knowing that there's an end. And then there's the sort of collapse of the worlds that we build, the worlds around our employment, the worlds around the way that our families look, and then the children grow up and move away. The worlds that we carefully construct, and then some event comes and it all falls down. And what Jesus says is we're not to be as we wait, as we are called to be present. We're not to be distracted. And we're not to worry. Sometimes I think that's a little easier said than done, but his exhortation is to be at prayer. And that's the discipline. I don't know that we can ever say don't worry, but we can say do pray. I don't know that we can say don't be anxious, but we can say be at prayer and be present. I love what someone said, you know, the gift that God gives us every day, the present. We can remember that, right? Present and being at prayer, being intentionally in the presence of God. Is an antidote to apathy, it's an antidote to denial, it's an antidote to overworking, because God knows this world is coming to an end. God knows our carefully constructed worlds, big or small, whatever scale you're entering in, all will end. And when you're in the midst of crisis, that's good news, because the crisis will come to an end. But when you're pretty happy about the way things are going, when you're wholly comforted on the advent of a new rector, being told that will end makes you sit up straight a little bit and be more present and thankful for what is happening then. So this discipline of prayer in Advent. For years I have preached, and I always preach to myself. That way I'm sure someone's listening, right? Slow down, be quiet, it's Advent. And I go, slow down. Slow down. And when I do slow down, my mind's going. I think that the call to be present is a little bit different. It's a call to notice what's happening. we don't want to get to December 25th and be able to rack up that we went to all these different parties and we got all these different things made and we did all these things and we enjoyed absolutely none of it. But how many times does that happen when we're not able to be present? So I'm going to share something that someone introduced me to. The Advent calendar, the Advent wreath candles, I'm going to tell you right now, I hope I don't break anybody's long-held, they don't have names. Now, I grew up that they did have names. There was the shepherd's candle and the angel candle, the Mary candle. But I also grew up with friends who called them the hope candle and the peace candle. They don't have names. They're candles. But I'll give you a new name for the first Sunday in Advent, and that is the candle of breathing. Candle of breathing. When you light that candle, breathe. When you see that Advent wreath, remember to breathe. Breathe in. Come, Holy Spirit. And then breathe out the worry and make more room for the Spirit. For Jesus, who is being born in us, more room for Jesus to be about that. The world is coming to an end, and we can't stop that. But we are called to engage it. We're called to engage it in prayer. We're called to be present to what's happening, because after every beginning is an end, but in every end, there is a new beginning. And that is what we celebrate in Advent. We celebrate Christ being born in us. We are encouraged to use this time, always use this time, but all time, to make more room and more space for Christ to be born in us.